My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem for a cereal.
A huge problem.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And we've got a hockey game tonight. The home opener, really, does it or does it not feel like the season opener?
Yes, it feels like the season opener.
If only it were.
Yeah. It'd be nice to not be looking up at already having played two more games than most of the league.
I'm telling you, like, you'll remember the Sabres hire Lindy Ruff. I've been very chilly about them for years. You know, just like, I'm not you when it comes to hockey. Mm-hmm. I need them to be good to really be interested naturally, genuinely. So Ruff returns, and I immediately, my thoughts drifted to tonight and going to the game. Like, it just all came back to me going to this game, looking at him across the way, thinking of my life and just how much time has gone by and kind of just nostalgic and excited. I did go to a preseason game on my own, and I did some of that. Not the same though, but those two games, maybe it's only because they lost both, but those two games last week completely took that adrenaline for tonight away. Like 0-2. I got Jeremy this morning talking about just lead them in shots and I'll feel good. You know, just win the shots. Right. Moral victories.
Don't get booed.
Don't get booed, he said.
Don't
yes.
give up a goal before the first TV timeout. A goal against. And preferably not two. Obviously, if you don't give up a goal, you have no chance of giving up two.
Isn't that mostly because of the two games? Or would it be like that anyway at 0-0? I think those two games.
I think the two games really. It's hard to not react to them the way you reacted to games in the middle of last season that felt like no shows or just not good enough or however you want to describe what what happened in Prague in those two games against the Devils. I didn't like them much at all on Friday. I think I hated him on Saturday, so it's hard to...
Yeah, Saturday was worse.
It's hard to put that over there and just pretend like it's a clean slate. It does feel that way because, the league just started two nights ago, and there were more games last night, and now there's a bunch tonight, and they're back in North America, I was thinking today about how long will it be until they're like even in games with the teams in their division. Will I be looking at, they've played two more or more than that the rest of the way? I mean, the schedule can be funny. Like some teams are really busy in certain months and others aren't. So it always obviously evens out in the end. But you think about what it will feel like in January if they're chasing a spot or later than that and they have played two more games than everybody.
It won't be like that.
It probably won't, but I just feel like I'm already in a hole.
Right.
Yeah, I did not come home with 2 points, 3 points, 1 point, 4 points. I came up with none. Zero. I got 0 points. And it was two hockey games. And so it's hard. It gets in the way of the excitement that I think a lot. Well, I don't want to speak for anyone. People are going, and maybe they're going down there for the red carpet or blue and gold carpet thing and the party in the plaza, and they're fired up. And like, don't let me ruin your good time. I'll try my best to be excited about it.
Are you saying the season is not over?
The season is definitely not over, but I am. I mean, to hear that you're back where you were before Europe.
Not all the way, but.
Because I feel a little bit like we may have changed roles.
No, that again.
To an extent. Because I don't like feeling like this, but it's how I feel. Like, I'm just going to need to see you put something together before I want to give the speech about Thompson scoring 45 and Cousins scoring 30 and like all the things that need to happen and click into place for them to end this 13-year playoff drought. I just need to see some evidence that you can do it. Even if it's the old okey-doke and it's only for a month and it goes away by Thanksgiving, at least give me some reason to believe that you can do something substantive in the standings.
Well, that will be interesting because if there's enough, I'll say, if there's enough, if it's promising enough, like they do well enough that we get into the season month by month and the conversation is it for real? That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot right. Better than what it's been like.
Yeah. Like,
and there will be doubters.
But if you at least get that starting, say, tonight, right, and move forward with it and you know, put something together, you can at least avoid us, me, you, having to sit in here going, well, you know, if they put a streak together here and win 7 out of 10 or something, like they can get right back in it. Like, that's how we usually sound around here by Christmas time, if not sooner. And so they're already 0-2, but, you know, there's a long way to go, obviously, and, you know, it's hockey. So maybe, you know, I don't know why they were so lousy. Particularly on Saturday, they've been doing a lot of work on the power play, and the power play comes home 0-6. So they start there. They're already 0-6 on the power play. And it was a big problem for this team last year. They've made changes to it, structural changes to it, and personnel changes too, to what they're trying to do and who they're trying to have do it. But the results were, you know, the same. Lousy. It was a lousy power play.
Yeah, really, I just want to have the conversation. I want to have the season.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it is important that they make it. That's the obvious goal, that they get in. But it could be worse than that, and it's been worse than that. Last year was worse than that. 3 years ago was worse. I mean, a lot of these years have been, where it's just not even interesting. And I want to think, like we all do, that this year at least will be interesting. What happens if it isn't? Who knows? I mean, there's just a lot of it's well earned. A lot of cynicism about the Sabres, and there's a lot of like an indifference, but there's that too. Just an unwillingness to, no benefit of the doubt. How about right. that? No benefit of the doubt. You know, the last couple of years they've had problems that were known, and even on the outside, perhaps, especially 2 years ago, pretty easy to recognize. And they sat there. And so what is that? That's probably not an ignorance to what the problems were, what they needed to have be better. It's more an unwillingness to really go after it. And that's kind of what sets the Sabres apart, not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And that right there doesn't change until we see it change. And if they have, maybe they'll just be amazing, but it's not that way yet. You know, you want to get some distance into the season before you draw any conclusions. Once we get there, and if it doesn't look like it's going to work out, what are they going to do about it?
Right, it'd be a lot easier for me, anyway, speaking only for myself. I don't, on this specifically, on whether you have high hopes for this season or are optimistic about this season or whatever. Like, I do not want to seem like I think I know how people are all doing out there. I just know how I'm doing, and it would be a lot easier to get behind, oh, well, tough start in Europe, but, you know, you're coming home and you got this coach and I believe in these players, if you weren't sitting on 13 years. Like, I mean, obviously, if there were something recent that you could touch or like, you know, psychically point to and go like, well, you know, yeah, okay, I've seen it. I know it. I believe in it. I know they can do it. But you don't have that. So that makes it really hard. It feels feels all too familiar, like the Bills drought, where year in, year out, like the first few years of it, you're like, well, you know, if T.O. this, or if Ryan Fitzpatrick that, or whatever, right? And you put this all together, maybe Aaron Schobel leads the league in sacks, or whatever flimsy structure you build in your head to get optimistic. It gets harder year over year over year to do that. By 10 years into the Bills drought, I was done doing it. And here we are, 13 years with the Sabres. I can't give the speech. I know how to do it. I've heard people do it. I just don't have it in me anymore. I mean, it's all pretty obvious. If the goalie's good again and they reclaim their scoring touch and are better defensively, playoff, poof, that's it. But doing all that seems like a lot harder for this organization than maybe it should be. I don't know. They just can't get there. So
I think generally, like the Bills years, a lot of those, there were two things that I'm thinking of that kind of were the ball game when it came to those seasons. Like even look, trying to be optimistic, looking ahead to the seasons. One is New England existed. So you had like a near impossible task of being better than them and actually beating them out for an AFC East title. You could have made a wild card, which eventually happened, but so like you're in pretty bad just right away, automatically. And there's a little bit of that with the Sabres. I mean, it's not like there's one team.
Right.
But it's a little bit the same. You have 3 to 4 teams over the years that have been excellent, which gives you very little breathing room.
Yeah, so, and if one of them, if anybody's aging out, Tampa or Florida, or Tampa or Boston, Florida got the last spot. Florida got the spot you were striving for season before last. They beat you out by a point to make the playoffs, and now they're Boston. They're just there at the top, and good luck knocking them off. Like, they're not coming back to you. I don't think Toronto really is. I mean, they had a weird night last night. They really got goalied in Montreal last night. Toronto, they were vastly the better team. I watched almost every minute of that game, but they didn't score, and Montreal got one, and there you go. That's hockey. You know, Tampa might be vulnerable. Boston might be vulnerable, but look out. Here comes Detroit. Here comes Ottawa. Like these other teams that have been rebuilding along with the Sabres may be more ready than you to take a spot if one of those teams falters in front of you. So yeah, it is. It's not exactly like New England because it's not one team in the way specifically, but yeah, it is
right. Like you're playing for second. And here you're playing for fourth, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah,
it could go better than that. The other thing I was going to say, thinking about like the Bills drought, at least for me, it was more philosophical about like why they weren't going to be good than it was a lack of effort. I mean, it's not like they were the most aggressive team or anything, but they drafted their players and free agency wise. I mean, overall, I feel like there was enough, just maybe not every time, but enough of an effort. I don't remember really having the effort question with the Bills in those years. I mean, I don't know, like just overall. And that's in my way with the Sabres. Absolutely in my way. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they going to do? What are they willing to do? They weren't willing to spend to the cap. You know, they've never, I shouldn't say never, but even going back several years now, like you want that big move and it's easy to think that it's possible, but still, like, for one reason or another, Ehlers is not on the team yet, still, mm-hmm. somehow. Like, just for one guy. It's really a forced effort for me to think that this time will be different, that they will be, you know, we got to get in and make some kind of move right to get better. That was the blue line 2 years ago when they were close. And, I mean, you thought goaltending, too, could have been
yep.
the move, and they just didn't make it. So that, I think, is different from the Bills. Just it's worse this way. It's worse if you think your team is just maybe not going to try like that.
Yeah, that's another thing that gets in the way. Like, we've seen the Bills just last year. They needed a corner. They made a trade for a corner.
Yeah.
And that really worked out great for them. I mean, they got the right guy at the right time, and it really helped them. These last 2 years, you're right, whether it was defense or goaltending, I mean, I have my own theory about why they didn't make a move for a goalie 2 years ago. I think they were scared that it might cause Devin Levi to not sign with them. And, think about that. Like, I don't have to be right about that, but like, if your reputation is so shaky that you have to worry about a college kid saying no because you made a trade for your name here, some NHL goalie that could have helped you make the playoffs in a year where you missed by a point and your goaltending was bad. Lukanen did not hit 2 years ago. I mean, just that's a horrible place to be. Whether they can make trades or not, whether GMs want to deal with them, there's so many things that get in the way, but the inaction of the last two seasons, that's why I reacted so strongly when I found out about this Oposo quote from the spring, talking about how back in October and November, before obviously way before he got traded to Florida and went and won the cup, like, we knew something was off, we didn't have it, and nothing. So even if there's a tough start and you want to give it's a long season speech, I've got an organization that has been paralyzed the last two winters about doing anything to change when it's obvious there's a problem. And so I don't have any faith that if they're hovering around 500 and need a guy for this or a guy for that, that they're going to go do it, because they haven't done it the last 2 years. Like, they didn't have to miss last year. Like, they were alive for a bit, but they didn't have enough. And the coach, I think, really held them back last year, sadly, because everybody loved Don Granato, but it unraveled on him. So that's a terrible place to be. If you in pro sports, you don't think your team is going to act. Like, they don't have to do the thing I want them to do necessarily, but something would be nice to try to alter the course and not just hope it all comes together with what you thought it was going to be in the summer.
Probably should have made a big move like this week then, after those two losses. Now, it will take some time, but it's really a question of faith. And everybody would have their own feelings about that. I can tell yours and mostly mine too, there's been a lot of damage over the years. So, hey, it's home opener tonight, and that's a fun time. You could be optimistic. This is the easiest time to be optimistic about a team when they're not buried yet. No individual goal songs, Bulldog. I know you're upset about that. You loved that playlist, and we don't have that to look at. Is that because it's like anti-team, maybe? Is that why they're doing that? They couldn't be doing it just because it's easier to have one song.
I don't know. I don't know.
A coaching change, maybe, and let's not be individuals here.
Everybody eats.
Everybody eats. Play for the crest, not the name on the back.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, the opportunity to make it a Bob Dylan song is there for them. I mean, I doubt that that's the plan, because I would imagine they had a choice already picked out before Bob Dylan tweeted yesterday that he met a Saber in the elevator in Prague and was invited to their game. But sadly, he was performing that night in Prague as well.
Hmm.
How are we almost 21 hours from that news? I'm going to use news here, breaking that Bob Dylan met a member of the Sabres in an elevator at a hotel in Europe. How are we through the morning skate and all the interviews, and I still don't know who it is? I'm really upset about this. I thought for sure that it would be something that would have come up.
Who do you want it to be?
I want it to be Zach Benson. Mostly because Paul dismissed him as an option yesterday.
Like,
I'll bet Benson doesn't know. And I'm over here. I didn't say this to Paul last night, but I'm thinking, How do kids find out about Bob Dylan? Their parents dig Bob Dylan. Like, I don't know anything. All I know about Benson's parents is that they ran a carnival company and traveled around Western Canada setting up carnivals.
I didn't know that.
Those are some people that could be into Bob Dylan, as far as I'm concerned. Like, they're not disqualified from loving Bob Dylan, so I would love it if it were Zach Benson. And he was like, I got in the elevator and Bob Dylan!
I mean, half the team is 23 or younger.
Right.
So what's the difference between 23 and 19,
yeah,
I guess? But
I don't know.
I mean, Alan listened to Sinatra.
Right. I mean, I never saw Hank Williams perform when I was a little kid, but I damn well knew who he was because of my parents. So anyway, I hope it's bad. I just want the mystery solved is all. I'd like to know who it was. And if it was even actually a player.
Right.
You know, because like for Bob Dylan, like somebody wearing a Sabre logo on their sweatshirt or something, that could qualify as a member of the Buffalo Sabres to him.
Sure. Yeah.
So
he's up there in years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
How well does he follow the league?
Right.
You want one of the players to come forward. Maybe they will. Sabres and Kings, pregame at 6 with Paul. Both -110. Coin flip.
Yeah, I saw that.
You got your hat trick bet?
It hurts the hat trick bet. I mean, because if they're not favored, the Kings, I think, are favored on the puck line, minus the 1.5. So the Sabres plus 1.5 is like -200 something. Like, that's terrible. If I'm going to make the Thompson bet, it's best when the Sabres are an underdog and I can get a plus 110 or 120 on the money line, or excuse me, what is that one called?
You called it the puck line.
The puck line. Okay, thank you. Anyway, so I had to throw in the over under on it just to boost the odds.
What are we playing? We're playing hat trick and then the total.
Yeah, and a Sabre win. Yeah,
money line.
Yeah,
-110 ish.
Yes,
at least
that's what I got. That's when I put it in. That's what it was.
What will Joe Ostrowski think of tonight's Sabres Kings game? Maybe nothing. Maybe nothing at all. Maybe no opinion. But we will talk week 6 in the NFL, Bills Jets Monday night, some latest on the MVP race and more with Joe. Tonight's game as well, San Francisco at Seattle in the Thursday night game on Prime. Sal Capaccio at 4, and again, pregame coverage starts at 6, Sabres versus LA. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Keep it handy. 803-0550 is the number. Back with Joe Ostrowski after this. This is WGR.
Regarding the staff, after a lot of time to think about it, did not make this decision easily by any means. I'm going to make Todd Downing the play caller for the New York Jets going forward. And this is more a byproduct of a different take on things. I'm not saying it's a better or worse take on things by any means, but just a different take on things, a fresh approach. So ultimately, Todd will have the full say on the game plan and ultimately the plays that are called within the game.
Jeff Ulbrich is the new Jets coach. Hey, I'm not saying we want to do this because it's going to make us better. I just want something different. Gonna try so hard to make.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sure, everybody. Nobody's criticized
here. I can't guarantee this is going to work. But, I mean, have you seen our offense? We had to do something.
That would have been fine to say.
Yeah, maybe true, too.
Definitely true. Downing was with Tennessee, and his last kick at it did not go well. But maybe this will be different. Again, I'll use the same word. It is, I think, unsettling to Bills fans for the Bills to be the Jets' opponent this week. But that is the case. Joining us now to discuss it and more, week 6 in the NFL, Joe Ostrowski. He can be heard on BetQL Daily, weekdays 9 to noon, and on BetMGM Game Day Sunday mornings with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear these shows on the BetQL Network via the Odyssey app or on the Bet 1520 here in Buffalo. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, you typically don't make changes to improve things, right?
Why would you even question that?
Yeah.
Right. How are you asking me that?
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron, just so you know, this is what Sal wanted to do. I know, and I'm doing exactly what he wanted. But, I like your guy. He's great. He just got demoted.
Right. He'll be great again someday. I can almost promise you. Joe, the Jets fire their head coach and the line doesn't move. If it did, just a smidge. I don't know what you saw, but would you have expected that?
A little bit, because I think the number was going to be heading to 3, and then this will support the Jets, according to some bettors in the betting market, a little bit. Because we'll see. I mean, the injury report is going to dictate. You know, with all this noise, that's the one thing that we're really not spending a lot of time focusing on. It's, you know, it just came out and, you know, got to wait a couple days before it actually means anything. But the health of the quarterbacks on both sides, kind of important if you're talking about betting this game with everything changing over in Jets land there. But no, I'm really not all that surprised. I don't think it's going to get to 3 now because there are a lot of bettors that will just take the automatic stance. And, guys, I think I'm included in that, unfortunately. The new head coach bump. How real is it? It doesn't always work. Sometimes it works. It got Antonio Pierce a full-time gig, and they picked him over Davante Adams, apparently, over in Vegas, but it doesn't always work. But, you know, early in the season, when you still have a chance, and they do have a couple of wins. It's not like they start off 0-5, which made it a surprising move to some. But it is a real thing, because when you make that sort of a move, typically it's a dumpster fire. You're talking about a team winning 20-30% of the games. And over the last 20 years, 38 times it's happened in season, those teams the following week have gone 17-21 straight up, so almost 500, which is good because it's usually a really bad record, and 22-16 against the spread. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We obviously know what they're hoping.
And you've got other things to mix in here, you know, with the new coach bump, if the Jets do get that. You've got a Bills team that is coming off, and a quarterback of a Bills team who's coming off just, I mean, a historically bad performance on the heels of getting blown out in Baltimore the week before. So the Bills are sort of, they're taking on water, and they're favored. So, I mean, it could be a scary one for bettors, I would think.
Any guesses? I know it's super early on Shakur.
Didn't practice today.
Okay.
DNP. Same with James Cook. So that's it. Like, yeah. I don't know
they're
how
doing some
serious
light,
it is.
They're doing some light stuff off to the side, both of them, but... Yeah, I mean, I don't feel good about either guy right now.
How good should it feel, Joe, for the Bills offense to seem like it hinges on Khalil Shakir all of a sudden? I mean, this player has a lot of fans. He's been reliable and pretty good, not a high draft capital guy, obviously, but I'm not comfortable with this reality that apparently they need him to function.
The thought went through my mind that maybe he's more valuable than everybody was realizing, because obviously the stat that everyone knows about is he catches everything.
Right.
Like anytime he's targeted, he's going to catch it. And when you lose that outlet guy that you can always depend on, you look his way anytime you're in any sort of trouble, I did consider, like, okay, maybe he's a lot more valuable than we're all realizing, but no. It can't really be the case, right? I mean, we saw the Giants go and win on the road in Seattle without Malik Nabers.
No kidding.
It was unbelievable. Like, the great receivers, they might be worth a point, something like that, but he looked like he was pretty valuable to that offense. So, yeah, I mean, lack of depth, certainly a concern. Everybody was screaming about it in the offseason, and you kind of saw it maybe more valuable than even you guys were thinking, even though you would watch it every week and you see the numbers.
With Joe Ostrowski, you got a second survivor pool going, and it didn't even... it still kicked out half or more of the field in the first week.
Take me off your email list, Joe. I'm done.
You might need to.
It's over for me.
Bulldog's calling the number. Is there a survivor number?
If you didn't do it, I get it. This NFL season is so stupid. It happened... Again.
Yeah.
Again. And it wasn't one. It was the two biggest favorites of the week.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. We're talking about survivor options on the show today, if anybody is somehow alive.
I am.
By the way, you are?
I've got two, and Trista has one. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In the new $50 one.
How are you navigating these? Yeah, it's... So the one that was more expensive that started with 206, they chopped. It got down to two people.
Okay.
Because there were five left. Two took the Bears. Like, let's put some money in our pocket before we continue this.
What was that? Like around 50 grand? What was that?
So, well, they chopped and they're playing. They took 15 each and they're playing for 16.
Oh, nice. Okay, so 46. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
5 weeks. Yeah. 5 weeks.
That's incredible. That really is. To get down to two people. Right.
So, we're looking at it this. Yeah, every pool's like less than 2%, even the bigger ones that are still alive. And then we're going over the options this week. The bigger point spreads, of course, you start there, but maybe we shouldn't start there because those are the ones that lose. But I'm looking at the 6.5 and the seven-point spreads. I'm like, nope. I don't want anything to do with that. I'm crossing that off. Okay, Philadelphia, 9.5. Maybe I can go there because they're facing the Cleveland Browns, but it's so unsettling. We've had 1 week, guys, out of the five, where the biggest favorite has won the game.
Does it mean anything? Is this a fluke? Is there some odds-related takeaway here that says something meaningful, or is it just like, what are you going to do?
It can't keep up. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but the number, just to put it in a perspective of what we're seeing in the league right now, I mean, does it mean something? Yes. Parity even more than we thought, even though this is a league that thrives on it. And outside of a couple teams at the very top, at the very bottom, the league just feels like one big blob, and they're all so close. Like, tell me who wins a turnover battle, and maybe I can tell you who wins the game.
Yeah.
And if you look at underdogs of 6+ this year, okay, that's a 19-game sample size, 6+. The underdog is 11-8 straight up. The underdog is a winning record. The underdog is 16-2-1 against the spread for 89%. That can't continue, I think, but I don't know with this league.
You never know when it's going to turn,
right?
Either.
I thought last week it was going to turn, and we're still playing this game.
Because the whole point of Survivor is to avoid taking the chalk, like taking the biggest favorite anyway, so it's there for you if you have the guts to take a 3-point favorite or something. Go take the Lions in Survivor this week at Dallas. How's that idea grab you?
Sure, something around a field. Yeah, I'm looking at it this week, and I'm talking to myself, okay, Houston -7. I don't want anything to do with that. You've got the rookie quarterback. Drake May's right. Got to be an improvement over Brissett, right? And now you have no Nico Collins because he goes on IR. Baltimore, Washington. Jaden Daniels is scary every game. You keep doubting him, and he keeps balling out. Why would you take Baltimore when you're facing right now is an elite offense, even though we don't know about the Commanders' defense right now? Atlanta, Carolina. Oh, that's a divisional matchup. Yeah, Carolina stunk last week, but that was against the Bears' defense, and now they get to play the Falcons, and it's Atlanta on the road. Like, you're talking yourselves into reasons right. why you would not take a team instead of typically, okay, one of the big favorites is going to lose on a week-to-week basis in this league, and now it's the majority.
I have two entries, and for one, I'm definitely taking Cincinnati. 3.5 at the Giants. I mean, the Bengals, their losses are kind of stupid so far, and last week their offense was great. They still got beat because Lamar Jackson was better, or, you know, maybe that's right to say. They won the game. And the Giants' win seemed kind of fluky at Seattle. Maybe no Neighbors again. So what do you think of Cincinnati? I don't have to cover the 3.5 in Survivor. Right, I just have to beat them. Right.
Well, but you got Zach Taylor on your side, which is always questionable a little bit. The three that I marked as, okay, the ones that I'll probably pick. Philadelphia, I'm with you on Cincinnati. And the other one, which is a game that's just, it's a weird number, so people aren't really talking about it, and maybe they're scared off because Arizona just had the big upset over San Francisco. That's Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
As a 5.5-point favorite back at Lambeau, now a couple weeks back for Jordan Love. And if you look at the remaining schedule for the Packers, I don't think there are really any other spots where you would want to take the Packers or feel comfortable with it right now, assuming the starting quarterbacks are in. So I think that's a pretty good look for Green Bay.
Just a couple of minutes left with Joe Ostrowski. You want to get a bite of Josh Allen now that the MVP odds have come up a little bit?
Hmm.
Maybe not.
No.
Pass.
It's the same conversation, right? And Mahomes is still the favorite, and he has not been all that impressive. Lamar, due to his performances, they have to move him up, and they make him the second favorite, even though in the end, I don't think they're going to give him the award. And Stroud is in there. They're not covering point spreads. They're not as dominant, but they're probably going to win the division because there's nobody else that's going to go and take it. So now you're getting a little bit of value. I understand the case because who's after Josh Allen? Jaden Daniels, a rookie, is going to do this?
Want to talk about it?
Yeah. What?
Sam Darnold?
How good is it now for Allen? Like you know, how juicy is it?
9-1.
Okay.
9-1.
All right. What do you think about the idea of Daniels? I mean, nobody was taking Washington seriously like forever, and if he stays on the pace he's on, I mean, it's not a fluke so far. You're talking about all-time great rookie efficiency, and they keep winning in the NFC East. Couldn't he win?
There will be a segment of voters that refuse to give it to a rookie that will just go to the other best quarterback. Tell me what seed they are in the NFC. Are they top two?
Well, they are right now, but...
Right, so they get to the finish line.
I don't know their schedule, but...
They definitely have to win the... It'll be a soft schedule because last place. They definitely have to win the division. And most of the time, you do have to be a top two seed in your conference. Now, is the Commanders' defense better, or are they just playing weak opponents? I think the latter, and I'm not sure. The funny thing is, this last game was probably Daniels' worst game of the group so far.
And they cruised.
Historically, Cliff Kingsbury offenses crater in the second half of the season. That's what's happened.
Well, I wonder, the Jackson point we make every week, and we agree, like, are they going to give him a third? He's playing better than last year, but still. Mm-hmm. If Washington wins there this week, I wonder if that would mean a lot to the odds. But
I would think it would, but you're the expert, Joe.
Oh, no, I'm not. It would mean a ton. I mean, it's a 6.5-point underdog. And so all the doubters out there, if it happens again, what do you say? It's not about a weak opponent at all. It's one of the best coached teams, most talented teams. It's the guy that's won it a couple times. You take him down. Everybody's taking notice already.
Yep.
But then, yes, then it goes to a new level. I mean, it tells us everything that we're having this conversation, and he's top five in odds.
Look at the total on that game. I've got 52.5. The total. Same total as Detroit and Dallas.
What year is it? 52.5. I thought that was illegal.
Right.
Anymore.
Right.
That's how I was looking. Tonight's kind of close to that number, which surprised me.
49?
Yeah. It's up there. I think it's a little high, but something about that matchup. We've seen lately some shootouts in these primetime games, and the Seattle defense just, so many injuries all over the place, every level of that defense over the last month or so.
Of course, that coach against Purdy last year, though, took him apart.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald.
Yes.
I kind of like the Niners. I mean, Seattle's so interesting to me this year. Just Geno Smith, okay, he's returned, and he's pretty much proven that he's pretty good, if not even really good. But, you know, these big spots, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with Detroit, you know, can you trust them? And I kind of want to, but I have a tough time. Like, I still think San Francisco has lost close games, a little bit of a buster effect with their loss, their being 2-3. Mm-hmm. So I think I give the 3.5 here. How about you?
I lean that way. I think San Francisco wins. The hook is always scary to me in these divisional matchups when you're going on the road. If you're strong on San Francisco and you still believe once healthy they're going to get everything back together, now would be the time to strike on a division bet.
Yeah.
They're -115, so just about an even money bet. If they win, then now you're tied with Seattle moving forward as guys are starting to get healthier. But, I mean, maybe it's now I'm going to talk myself out of it because you got Kansas City next week. So certainly not a look-ahead spot here. The thing with Seattle is, okay, you faced poor quarterback play and you start 3-0 when you were healthy. It was Knicks, Brissett, Skylar Thompson. And now you're facing Goff, and we know last week with the Giants, okay, maybe not in that same conversation, but I mean, Geno Smith has been off to a really strong start. I'm looking at Kenneth Walker props. I know they're going to be super popular, but after scoring three touchdowns against Detroit, he had five carries last week.
Yes, and they're wearing run the damn ball hats.
Right, the coaches, right?
Establish it.
They're going to establish it.
He's going to be part of it. And he caught seven passes, so if you want to go total yards, I don't have a problem with that. I think we're going to see a whole lot of Kenneth Walker tonight.
Interesting. Joe, by the way, I took Ja'Marr Chase last week to lead the league in receiving yards at 9-1. And he is now plus 260 with the Collins injury, and he had, what, 190 in the game? So I'm enjoying that so far. It's only been a week, but that's a big jump.
I am on Ja'Marr Chase for Offensive Player of the Year.
Oh, that's good, too.
After a couple of weeks, that was a pretty good number. He's the fourth favorite there. Of the awards, we talked a little on MVP. Of the awards right now, I think this is the one that's most interesting. Derrick Henry is the favorite, but these are all, you know, priced around the same range. Saquon is second. Justin Jefferson, third. Ja'Marr Chase, fourth. Then CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb in the 22-1 range hasn't had a monster game yet, numbers-wise, and then gets Kamara, St. Brown, Lamar, Josh Allen there, Jaden Daniels. Maybe it goes back to being a quarterback, or maybe, I don't know, maybe they give it to Jaden Daniels, a second award.
Well, I don't know that one as well. It just seems like it's always not a quarterback, doesn't it?
What is that Offensive Player of the Year we're talking about?
Yeah, it's gone away from quarterback over the last few years because it's felt like
the best player that's not a quarterback.
Yes, but we've seen it. I think Mahomes took both awards one year.
Okay.
But they've gone away from it. Last year was McCaffrey, and there was a run there.
Cup
get it one year. Yeah. I think Jefferson, too, where they were going receivers. You couldn't deny CMC last year. I just think that one's going to be interesting. It could be a number of guys.
I like it. Thanks for your time, Joe. Good luck in week six.
Thanks, guys.
Joe Ostrowski, BetQL, and the BetMGM Sunday morning pregame show there with Jason Lockenfora joins us every Thursday. Sal, coming up just after 4, we've got the Bills injury report, and there's a lot of names on this list.
There's like 15 or 16 names on that list. Yeah,
Shakir and Cook, the two maybe that we're watching the most closely, both DNP today. Game isn't until Monday night, so a little bit more time to recover. We'll get Sal's read on their chances to play. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sabres Kings tonight downtown. Pregame at 6 here on WGR. Just seeing you can get plus 3,500 on a Bills-Vikings Super Bowl.
Why not?
Why not? Let me see what I've got in my pocket for that. Very little cash on me these days. Let's see. One, two, six. I got $7. Mm-hmm. 3,500. Let's get it.
Do it up. I'll give you 350 and we'll split it. Not really.
Do you want a Subway Series?
I'd prefer to not have to see the Yankees.
It's going to be tough then.
Yeah.
To get a Subway Series.
I think that's right.
Who do you want then? Cleveland?
Cleveland or Detroit would be fine with me.
Kansas City? Fine?
I like the Royals, sure.
You'd have the Kansas City, again, you know, sports narrative.
Doesn't it
matter to you?
I mean, even though Mahomes was at the game last night.
You know, that's what I mean.
That was kind of annoying. Where, you know, I assume wearing a jersey with his name on the back. It was number 15. Like, I saw the front of it. I didn't see the back. But
wasn't Daryl Porter? Was it Clint Hurdle?
I'm going to have to look these up.
I think they're both right.
What number was Steve Balboni? I don't know.
45, I want to say. 45. Okay. I will look all this up.
I have no idea.
Big man's number.
I mean, you know, Yankees, Mets, that would be juicy, you know, for obvious reasons. I'm really enjoying the Mets. I didn't see the grand slam by Lindor last night. I saw his post-game interview, and I don't know that I've ever seen him address the media before, either in a big scrum or on the field like he was last night. Man, what a joy. Like, he was, like, if I had known nothing about them or him, I would have watched him be like, these guys are easy to root for. Or at least he is. Like, he just was, just his, I don't know. He did not come off like someone who had just done this incredible thing to lift this team to the point where they're enjoying the first celebration at home in a playoff series. They hadn't won a series in Citi Field, at Citi Field, since it opened. So that was a pretty cool scene last night, and he was just, I don't know, man. He just hit every right note for me.
We saw him strike out earlier in the game on a pitch that bounced in front of the plate, and Real Muto caught it off the plate, even, it was. It was a great play, and Lindor swung and missed, and he turned around, and he was, like, amazed. Like, he was smiling at Real Muto. Like, right. great like, play.
Good job, right? Yeah. Right.
So he thought maybe he would get a chance to stay up.
So the Mets, I think I mentioned this last week when we were watching them in the previous round, and my wife just volunteered, I think I like the Mets. And Owens agreed, and I went, I think I kind of like the Mets too right
likeable
now.
Mets.
Likeable Mets.
I wonder if Sal's on board.
So,
Yankee fan.
I mean, I don't know. If the only way to get them in there, it would be to face the Yankees. Like, if I had to sign something, so like, in order for the Mets to make it, they'd have to play the Yankees. Fine. I would take it.
Interesting deal there. We will talk to Sal next. The Bills injury report, the matchup with the Jets. That's after sports. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.